Jotham Kangdom is from Nigeria. He's on a sabbatical here in Israel for a year, translating the Bible into his mother tongue. And he's been part of this congregation for a number of months. He's also a member of our fellowship that meets in Mebeseret. He's in his own country, a civil servant, working for the government, but that's to have the salary that he might pastor. He's a pastor of a congregation, has a family of five. I'm sure lovely children, because he represents to us who know him as a man of God and a family man. So we want to welcome this morning, the preacher of the gospel, our brother Jotham. Would you come, please?
I bring greetings to you from Nigeria. Even though I've been here 3 months, I'm always in touch with my family. I'm always in touch with my church. My church is a large congregation. Therefore, we are three as pastors. We have a congregation of... The average attendance every week is over 1,200. So that is that. My pastor is well. He sends his greetings. I must say that coming to stand here was something that I really dreaded. I did not want to. I told Pastor Chuck when he said it, I said, I wasn't sure whether I was hearing him well. So I wanted to have an excuse to postpone until. But later I told myself that the pastor represents the voice of God. And if God had asked him to talk with me, and I refuse, I better not become the life joy evangelical that we just heard of some few weeks back. So I simply said, okay, if that is the will of God, so be it. So I want to thank this congregation, particularly the pastor and the leadership, for having this free and open door policy to welcome even people like us to be here. I am very, very grateful, and I'm trusting that the Lord will speak to you and I, not Kangdom, but the Lord himself. Let us pray. Father Lord God Almighty, you are the Almighty, nothing short of that. You are the one and the only God. Everything is because you willed it. Even our presence this morning is because you allowed it. Because you allowed it, Lord, we are before you. And we are trusting, O God, that you will speak to us life. Empty us, O God, of everything. Everything. I mean everything that is injurious to our lives. Everything that would stop you talking to us. Retain those things in us that have been helping us to retain our memory of whom you are. So that when you talk, it gets in. It sinks. It transforms us. It makes us different. Because that is what you want us to be. To listen to you. To hear you. To take action. Yes, Lord, we cannot do it on our own. But you've promised. Your promises are sufficient. We're standing on those promises this moment, believing, O God, that your will shall be done. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen. Now, let me give you a brief history of my... When I came here in 1999, I came as a tourist. I would say I came as a tourist, even though I came as a student. Because I visited this place about two or three times. But it was, okay, let's go around and see what's happening. We came here, went to other congregations. And after 6 months, I left. But I did not leave empty-handed from Narkis. Narkis Church has always been a church that relates even to people out there, even to Nigeria. And today, the discussion we shall be having very shortly has to do with recalling the past so as to help us project the future. In 1999, when I came here, you know, time passes. Technology is something else today. 1999, this church was using cassettes. And they had lots of cassettes. Some they were not even using. They had piles and piles. And somehow, I got to talk with the youth leader. And he gave me a very big box of cassettes with messages to take back to Nigeria. I took back that box. Wait a moment. I did not take it along with me when I left. But I left it in the good care of my father here. Hello. And he was able to send it back through another friend. Those cassettes were used in my church. And I believe they have satisfied the purposes for which they were meant for. So, it is important, necessarily, to look at our past. Now, let's get to our reading. The text that the Lord has placed on my heart this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, I would start reading from verse 1. It is the entire chapter that forms part of our discussion this morning, but I would be speaking as we go along on the specific verses that directly God has asked me directly to talk on. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. I would be reading from the NIV. Sorry, not NIV, CEV, Contemporary English Version. Israel, do you want to go into the land the Lord promised you, promised your ancestors? Do you want to capture it, live there, and become a powerful nation? Then be sure to obey every command I am giving you. Don't forget how the Lord your God has led you through the desert for the past 40 years. He wanted to find out if you were truly willing to obey him and depend on him. So he made you go hungry. Then he gave you manna, a kind of food that you and your ancestors had never even heard about. And till date, I dare say that nobody has given any conclusive meaning or proper account of what the content of manna was, because it was a miracle. God chose to send it down at the time he wanted the Israelites to utilize it. When they were no longer in need of it, he withdrew it. Scholars have tried to give explanations, different explanations. Oh, it's some seed from some plants in the desert. Oh, it's the excretion of some insects in the desert. Some things like that. But none has ever come out to say, oh, we have tested it. We have verified it. Yes, look at what it looks now. It went with the mystery it came from. Hallelujah. Today I'm going to discuss about the importance of turning back to look around. Turning back to look around. There is one Ngas saying, that is my ethnic group, Ngas. One of the sayings is that Kadang Lango Chedri Baden Bifam Pokin. Kadang Lango Chedri Baden Bifam Pokin. If you are a forgetful person, keep your things in front. Another one is, if you married a wife, let me say it in Ngas first. Matlang wevik man kait marka. Matlang wevik man kait marka. What it means is that if you married a woman after harvest time, you know, our people are agrarian in nature. They live off the farms. So our proverbs would come from those sources as well. If you married a woman after harvest, she is not likely to know the ages of your farm. Of course, because she never went to the farm. You ask her when time for harvest comes, go and farm plant those crops. You won't see anything because she will tell you, where is the farm? So this brings to mind the importance of history. The importance of history. And I guess that Israel is one of the nations that has the greatest history. I have never known a nation that has a history that could surpass the one of Israel. Because the history started with the commencement of the world. From the beginning, in the beginning, the history was set in motion. And it is a history that has a beginning and has an end. In between, we are assured by the Lord that he has sworn. Let us get to verse 1. The NIV this time. Verse 1 of chapter 8. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. He promised on oath to the forefathers of the Israelites. And by his divine grace, somehow, grace, he has grafted me into that history. By his special grace. Because when he gave this command, he had started somewhere. In Genesis chapter 12. From verses 2 and 3. When he called the father of old, Abraham, he said to him, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Does it end there? Abraham will be a blessing. Abraham will be a big man. Abraham's family will be great. Well, how does that affect me? It doesn't affect me. Too bad for me. But that's not the end of the story. He said, I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Hallelujah. You see how I came in? You see how Africa came in? You see how today I can safely say that I have an eternal relationship with this land, Israel. So I am concerned about what happens here. I am concerned about what happens here. My church is concerned about what happens here. And let me tell you, as brethren, just as Paul rightly said, we have a fellowship. We have a brotherhood. We have a relationship. What happens to the head is also affecting the leg. What happens to the arm also affects the eye. When, due to some the cartoon controversy out there in Holland, the newspapers in Nigeria reported that probably about 80 people died. But I tell you, in Nigeria, over 200 people died for something that happened out there in Holland. Churches were burnt. My senior pastor was there. They had to be rescued by a team of mobile policemen. So what happens to a brother somewhere happens, affects everything. It's a relationship. Not chosen by any of us, but chosen by the person who calls us into this fellowship. And we say thank you to him. We remain ever so grateful to him. When the Israelites were out there in the wilderness, God made sure that they remain part of the past, They keep part of their present so that they can give focus to the future. Therefore, in many references, starting from the book of Genesis right through to the prophets, reference is ever made to the past. And I guess that all of us do that kind of a thing. We must make reference to our own past if we must move ahead. We must make reference to our own past. Happily, my father Halvo here can correct me. But you see, the Hebrew language grammatically knows about two periods of life. The perfect and the imperfect. Anything in between? The in-between is so temporary that even if you are in the present, you are rushing ahead to go into the future. So you look at the back, look at your back, and you look at the future. So, what am I saying? What God wants you and me, at every point we find ourselves, is to look at where you are staying, then ask yourself, where am I going? Where am I going? The question, where am I going, would bring to mind necessarily where you came from. You cannot run away from that. I cannot run away from that. I must know where I am coming from before I get ahead. And in the text, Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Lord kept on reminding them, don't forget how the Lord your God has led you through the desert for the past 40 years. He wanted to find out if you were truly willing to obey him and to depend on him. So he made you hungry. Then he gave manna, a kind of food that you and your ancestors had never even heard about. The Lord was teaching you that people need more than food to live. This is how the rendering of this text. People need more than food to live. They need every word that the Lord has spoken. There comes the theme for today's talk. Beyond the food. Beyond the food. Israel, where did you come from? Where are you? Where are you going? Those questions must be answered. Where did you come from? I think that it is an important question that generations, past generations, and present generations must keep on carrying forward. You must keep on telling your children where you came from. If you fail to tell the generations that are coming where you came from, then the roots will be lost and the blessings shall be lost as well. Today, in Israel, everything looks very greenish. Everything looks good. Today, Israel is high-tech community, high-tech society. How did it happen? How did it happen? It happened because of the promises of God. Those magnificent buildings you see now happened because God's word was kept. He said, I had sworn by my word. He stands by his word. So blessings kept on flowing. Blessings kept on flowing. Blessings kept on flowing. We were driving up north with Richard the other day. And as we drove, and we saw everywhere within Israel, green, good pasture, everything lively. Then as you look at either Lebanon or Jordan or whatever, the place is barren. I ask him, what is happening? What is happening? What went wrong? What is happening? Everything within Israel is green. And outside that, everything is dry. Their hills are dry. Their valleys are dry. They are near empty. And I said, something must be wrong. What was it? God is not out there. But God is here. He kept his word, didn't he? He kept his word. What did he say to Abraham? I will make you a blessing. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. So the business of Abraham's involvement in life was a life of blessedness. And those who are associated with him must be blessed people. So as a Christian today, if you live your life and blessedness does not come, ask yourself, something must be wrong. Something must be wrong. Because the children of Abraham are children of blessings. Those that call upon the name of Abraham are those that go with his blessings. So Israel has all the blessings. Everything. And you go to the parks. Natural parks, natural reserves, whatever. They look so beautiful. And there was a place that struck me so mightily. They call it a Afula Nature Reserve or something. And when you look at that place, I tell you, it needs the special grace of God to marshal, to make use of that swampy area, to turn it into a virgin, to turn it into a beauty, to turn it to be an envy. But that place is so nice, so beautiful. What happened? Was it like that? Of course, historians or those who knew better would tell you that it was a waste land. And I was even told that when the Jews were coming back, the Arabs chose to sell to them those swampy areas. Those swampy areas. And they were, but you see, because God was with them, those swampy areas were transformed, and today they are beautiful areas. That all those people now look at us and say, oh, had we known, we wouldn't have sold those places. Had we known. But who was involved? God was involved. Hallelujah. God was involved. Therefore, in your life, if you look at a situation and you feel, oh, this is a very terrible one. It's a very impossible thing. It cannot happen. Change cannot happen. take it to God. And that barren desert shall be made green again. That empty space shall be covered, shall be leveled, because you have taken it to the person who keeps his words. To the person who keeps his words. Verse 7 says, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land with streams that flow from springs in the valleys and hills. I tell you that this is prophecy. Because as the children of Israel were moving out, of course, when you look at this place, barren, wild animals. But because it was prophecy, God knew what he would do to transform this place into being what it is. So at the end, what happened? You can dig for copper in those hills. Yes, you can dig for copper in those hills. I read in history that King Solomon was a copper miner. And the stones are made of iron because God's blessings are on the land. Everything that looked impossible is possible. Things that looked impossible are now possibilities. Transformation has taken place. Israel has become high-tech society. Praise God. But where are we going? Where are we going from here? The Lord said, yes, I will provide the manna. I will provide the food. But it is not just a matter of food. It is more than food. It is not just a matter of advanced technology. It is more than advanced technology. It is not a matter of transforming valleys, barren land into agrarian, very beautiful centers. It is more than that. What is it? Verse 3. Yes, those blessings are there. We now have a very beautiful scenery. Okay? Houses are there. Factories are there. Get an Israeli. And today he's the best doctor, he's the best expert in aeronautics or whatever, here and there. And I understand computer chips for Dell or whatever are made here. And the other day I was talking with a rabbi here in the town. And he said, you know what? We Israelis are blessed. Because God gave us the brain. God gave us the brain. God in his wisdom. God, God is a wise person. I said, you can say that again. God is more than wise. He said, if God had given us the brain as well as petroleum, oil, today we would have been boasting and beating our chest. But he gave us that. And I said, yes. But beyond the technology. Beyond the technology. Beyond the advancements, beyond the achievements, what we need here is that the word of God should get entrenched into the land. The word of God must get domesticated. The word of God must be part and parcel of the lives of the people. Because apart from technology, apart from those gifts, all other things, without God, what do they amount to? Without God at the center, where do they amount to? It amounts to the manna in the bush. A manna out there in the desert. Manna came and went. Technology will come and go. Advancements will come and go. Beautiful things will come and go. So we need more than just the food. Beyond the food, what next? Beyond the food, what next? We must go beyond just this food. And I understand, you know, unlike Africa, because of the high level of poverty, families hardly bring things home. As I see here, every evening you see the man carrying or the woman carrying this or that back. It's either some fruit juice, some whatever, bread, whatever. It must go beyond those things. God has blessed this nation. But beyond the food, what next? Is there God here? Is there God here? We must get back to the original source. What did God say? What did God say? When you look at verse 14, for instance, he rightly said something there. But when all this happens, when all the blessings flow, when all the gifts that I have promised are fulfilled, do not beat your chest. Said it. Verse 14. When this happens, don't be proud. Don't forget that you were once slaves in Egypt, and that it was the Lord who set you free. Yes, we must not lose sight of the fact that we are recipients of divine grace. Nothing more. Recipients of divine grace. And if you are a recipient of divine grace, you are a recipient of divine grace. It boils down to the fact that you must give out. You must give out. When the Lord was sending out the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, he said, "These things I gave you free. Go and deliver it life and free." Thereby fulfilling the promises of Abraham. Thereby making the other nations to come to the knowledge of whom the true God is. Those who have been divinely provided for, do not beat your chest. Because you don't own it. Somebody was responsible. Yes, I agreed. People work for it. Remind your children. People worked for it. A brother was talking with me the other day and he said, his father used to take him on his back. Those difficult days. Yes, difficult days came. Because God also walks in difficulties. Difficult days came because God also walks in difficulties. Verse 5. So, keep in mind that the Lord has been correcting you just as parents correct their children. Verse 6. Obey the command, the commands the Lord your God has given you, and worship him with fear and trembling. Of course, the Lord had made his promise, but people had to work hard. I believe that if the earlier Israelites did not sacrifice their lives, literally, did not suspend their own conveniences for the sake of posterity, this place wouldn't probably be here. The beautiful look along King George, along Jaffa Street, you know, the beautiful city, the big factories won't be here. Sacrifices were made. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Brethren, what do these things teach us? Even when we bring these things down to our family levels, down to our personal relationships. Today, the story amongst Christian families is a horrible one. Just because we have refused to walk for God, to follow God with fear and trembling. We have chosen the path of the, you know, the convenience. It's when it inconveniences me, I drop it. If there's a problem, I drop it. But is that what is it? From the origin, you must walk out the problems with your partner with fear and trembling. It may be difficult. It may look impossible. It may look so, well, would this happen? Some years back, a woman whose husband had sent her away. He went and brought another wife, took her children and everything away and chased her away. We have a policy. If your husband sends you away, you must first report to the pastor. Don't just go to your parents' home. So the woman came to me and said, "Pastor, it has happened. I have been sent away. This and that." I said, "Just stay here. Let's put it up to the Lord. Let's put it up to the Lord. The Lord knows better." She went and came back. "Would this work?" I told her, "It will work. Don't worry." We prayed and prayed. Today, the couples are in the... He's a teacher in one of our seminaries. Hallelujah. What I am saying simply is this. For our today, for our tomorrow, we must reverse back to our old-time religion. Reverse back to the commands of Abraham. If you obey, I will do my own part. As he said very clearly in verse 12, you will have plenty to eat. You will build good houses to live in. You will get more and more cattle, sheep, silver, gold, and other possessions. But when this happens, don't forget. Let us bring the past to focus as we move, even as Christians, so that the plenty that we now enjoy, we shall continue to enjoy the plenty till he comes. The plenty that we now have, we shall continue to have the plenty till he comes. Let us not struggle just for the now and the moment, but let us struggle to keep what we have and to better what we have. Remember, as God's chosen nation, as believers, we need to be a blessing to others. You need to be a blessing to somebody. Abraham was meant to be a blessing to somebody. You and I are expected to transform that the blessings of Abraham to somebody else, next to you. I'm happy that, you see, within this church, blessings have been coming, even being given out over to our to the perceived enemies. People who would not like to see eye to eye with an Israeli, a gesture of kindness is made. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And that is what it should be. The gifts that God gave you and I, don't use them as the other nations do. The other nations receive these gifts. They either hoard them or they use them for destructive purposes. You and I, because we are believers, the gift that you have, use it not for destructive purposes. Use it so that somebody next to you shall be a blessing. So that somebody next to you shall be a blessing. Israel, God has given you the technology. Would you use it the way the Iraqis used it? Would Israel use it the way the Iraqis use their technology? Would you use it the way Hamas would use its technology? Would you use it the way Iran intends to use its technology? We are sons of Abraham. And sons of Abraham are meant to be blessings to the others, despite their own attitude, in spite of their opposition, in spite of their negative attitudes to us. We are sons of Abraham. And sons of Abraham must extend that hand of fellowship, that hand of love. Start from your family. Even if there is a problem, start from there. Build it up. And the Lord, who stands by his promises, would justify your actions tomorrow. This is what God wants me to share with you. May God's name be blessed. Amen.